Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. We made it to Friday, I do believe. Last time I checked the calendar, it is Friday, the 12th day of April. So happy that you're here. A little chilly out there this morning. I noticed on the way out the door, For some reason, I was surprised that it was 48 degrees when I got in my truck.
I was too, because I'm just thinking in my head, oh, it's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday and Sunday. And so you, for whatever weird reason, you walk out thinking it's going to be like 65 degrees when I wake up.
I know.
Wrong.
It's not. Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen, by what you think is going on outside this morning, for sure. I just wanted to point that out before you head out the door. At least it's dry for the most part. Well, we can say that. Happy that you're with us this morning. We left here yesterday, and every day it's something new, right? We live here yesterday, and we get the news walking out the door that O.J. Simpson died. How about that? Right after the show ended, actually, I think I was still sitting in my office when that news broke.
Yeah, I ran out and told Ethan, I'm like, did you see O.J. Simpson died? I mean, it's what everybody was talking about yesterday.
Well, we have a weird connection to that whole case here on the Mark Cox Morning Show, because I was there for the verdict. I was in Los Angeles, the Orange County Courthouse, when the verdict came down in the O.J. Simpson case. I have in my grubby little fingers this morning. I don't know, are we up on Facebook yet, Carl?
I am. You aren't.
Oh, okay. Well, I have in my grubby little fingers here something that I don't know if there can't be very many of these that even exist these days.
Here, let me show it.
I have a media pass from Camp O.J. I was there. You had to have this to get into the CBS area where all the satellite trucks were for the O.J. coverage. Remember, they were set up outside that courthouse for almost a year.
That's wild.
Covering that case.
The jury was sequestered, right?
Yeah.
So being sequestered for almost a year, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. So we were there for one reason. Rocky Madden, who is a longtime reporter at Channel 2 here in town, and I were out in Valley Park interviewing Sharon Ruffo, the mother of Ron Goldman, one of the murder victims. He and Nicole Brown Simpson, of course, murdered. We're talking to her about the verdict because the jury was out, and she received a phone call while Rocky and I were in her apartment that said the verdict is in. It's going to be announced tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Be here. So she left her house and drove straight to the airport and got on a plane and flew to L.A. And Channel 4 and Channel 2 sent Rocky and I with her. We got on the same plane and flew to L.A. with Ron Goldman's mother. And we're there the next day. We didn't get a lot of sleep. We were there the next day when the verdict was read, and it was wild. It was wild. There was no one who covered that case as a journalist. I mean, there was a lot of racial strife, right? It was after the Rodney King incident. People were pretty worked up over the Rodney King case. They kind of saw this as an opportunity as a relief outlet. If they could get OJ off on this, it was somehow going to make people feel better about the Rodney King case. I don't know what it was. There was a lot of pressure in L.A. for him to be found not guilty. Nobody who covered the trial, though. Like, I was talking to reporters who have been there for months. They all, like, if they were drawing a hangman in a game of hangman, they would have hanged him themselves. They were all convinced he was guilty. Mm-hmm. Everybody who covered the trial and listened to all the evidence was convinced that he did it.
And even as a young kid, I forget how old I would have been, but I remember, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Yes.
I mean, that line is something that I think so many of us, it's just been, we remember
well,
it.
And Cochran used that term very effectively on several different issues, like a hat that he was wearing. He made a comment about that, and the gloves, of course, which were soaked in blood. And if you've ever soaked leather in water, it can shrink. I mean, they don't take any of that into effect, regardless of what the tag inside the glove said. There were so many things that pointed to guilt in that case. And the fact that the guy walked away from it is still baffling even to this day. And the real killer is no longer out there walking around because the juice has expired. So that's just my opinion on it. I've always believed he did it. I believed it when I was out there covering it. And I'm standing in front of that courthouse. Nobody had really had cell phones in 1995. Everybody had boom boxes still. And all of the radio stations in LA were playing that verdict. They were all carrying it live. So we're in front of the Orange County Courthouse, and there's a row of police officers mounted on horses. There's a row of police officers in riot gear, and across the street are the crowds. As Judge Ito turns it over to his clerk to read the verdict, it's like stereo. Everybody's got a radio on, so you're hearing this in stereo, and it got so quiet on the street as she's reading this verdict. And then she reads that he's found not guilty, and that place erupted. It was like throwing a match on a bonfire. It just kaboom. And you know that all of that pent up, what at that point was celebration, would have turned into riots had it gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready to go, the crowds out there. And instead, it just turned into a street party. And everybody celebrated, and the rest of us were looking at each other like, you have got to be kidding me. They just let this guy go who brutally murdered his estranged wife and her boyfriend. They just murdered him. He just murdered him and got away with it. So anyway, I know he has ended up going to jail at some point, but I thought you might get a kick out of the fact that I was actually there when it happened all those years ago. And O.J. Simpson dead at age
76.
Yeah,
it's pretty young.
Cancer. We got plenty of stuff to get to for you. We're going to talk to the president of the Missouri Right to Life. You know, Bob Onder tweeted this out yesterday that they got a deadline coming up for the people that want to enshrine the right to murder children up to the date of birth. They're short on signatures, supposedly. So they're going to be doubling their efforts in the next couple of weeks to try to achieve the signatures they need to get this issue on the ballot. We're going to talk to the folks from Missouri Right to Life this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. First, though, let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is AC. I have OJ in the car. So I'm coming up the 5 freeway.
Okay.
Right now, we all okay, but you got to tell the police to just back off.
Yeah, his buddy Al Cowlings was the one driving the white Ford Bronco up the interstate there. That's a phone call heard around America as that got played the day OJ was fleeing from the police.
Well, I think it's interesting to hear people say, and I agree with this, that the government should not be intervening in news coverage. But in my experience at CBS, that happens every day.
Wow. Wow. Some explosive testimony from Cheryl Atkinson, who we have had on this show many, many times over the years. One of the best investigative reporters in D.C. That's shocking.
To take that Pfizer tool away, I think, is going to result in successful terrorist attack and a loss of life.
I don't really care what Bill Barr's opinion is on things these days. I don't know about you. That's the former attorney general, and he's angry because the vote to renew FISA failed again yesterday in the House.
F. Lee Bailey said this week, if the defense only knew what Ron Goldman's last words were, they might be able to find the real killer. You know, if you ask me, Goldman's last words were probably, hey, you're O.J. Simpson.
Oh, man, Norm MacDonald was the best, wasn't he? And as Carl pointed out, that those jokes are probably what got him fired,
yes.
Weren't they? We believe.
Because the head of the network was best friends with O.J. Simpson.
That's that wasn't, I'll be honest, though, I'm not sure that was his best joke about that. It was a good one. But then he got to host an award ceremony the next year, I think, and said this about
the ESPYs, I believe.
Said this about Heisman Trophy winner Charles Woodson. Listen to this one.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
Dang.
Like, nobody can take that away unless you kill your wife and a waiter, and then all bets are off.
Did you see, by the way, how some of these outlets are covering OJ's death?
How?
The New York Times, this should not shock anybody, they wrote that, let's see here, it says his world was ruined after he was charged with killing his former wife and her friend. And then NPR, their breaking news headline that they put out right after the news came out, the football great Orenthal James Simpson, known as OJ, has died. So leading with this, the football great line is just really lighting up the internet.
Wow. That bending over backwards to continue the lie that he didn't do it, but he's never did find the real killer. Who's going to search for the real killer now if OJ's not around? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself.
I mean, I've watched shows on this. I've watched documentaries on this because, again, I would have been like 4 or 5 years old. Like that Bronco chase, I was young.
Yeah.
But it's like everyone knows this story because it's just it's wild that, in my opinion, he got away with murder.
There's a theory he didn't do it.
There's plenty of theories about all sorts of things. That doesn't mean it's true.
He was covering up for a family member.
I'm sorry. I think OJ did it.
That he was covering up for, his son. It was the theory at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why you'd ride around in a white Bronco with a gun to your head if you hadn't just done something you probably shouldn't have done. That's the whole thing. All right. Quick break here. We're going to be back right after our national anthem.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Outside the courthouse, as the verdict was being read, we were listening to it, I guess, on KFI radio or something.
Right.
Standing and right in front of the courthouse downtown, with the smog still thick in the air, and with a bunch of photographers and producers, we made a plan. If he's guilty, here's how we're getting out of town. Because there was nobody in Los Angeles who didn't believe that if there was a guilty verdict, all hell was about to break loose. Because you could feel it. It was a tender.
Yeah, did you recognize that voice? He's been gone for a while from Fox News. That was Shep Smith, Shepard Smith.
Now, I didn't realize that Shepard Smith and I were standing outside of that courthouse together. I mean, there were a lot of people out there, but he was one of the journalists there as well. And he described I hadn't heard that bite in years. He described the exact same thing I was feeling. You could cut the tension outside of that courthouse with a knife, and you just knew, had that been a guilty verdict, all hell would have broken loose.
Did you have a plan as well, an exit strategy?
Run.
To avoid? Run.
Now, there were police on, if you look at that picture that I posted on the internet yesterday of me standing in front of the courthouse, you could see the police on horseback behind me. They had riot police out there. I don't know if they could have stopped the crowd from getting to the courthouse or not, but there were several hundred police officers out there between us and the crowd. I don't know. Just thought I'd point that out. Hey, by the way, had a great time last night at Grace Church. I got invited up a group of people up there. It's not political activity by the church, but there are a bunch of people who are members of that church who used one of their venues last night to hold a meeting on civic engagement. And they asked me to come up and give a few comments. Kim was there last night, and we had a great time. What
yep.
great questions and people just passionate about trying to fix some of these problems, not only in our elected positions in the state, but in our schools.
Yeah, I think what's great about Grace is they have this civic engagement group, and they go out and try to get the church involved, because that's what we have to do. It's easy to just sit here and talk about, oh, we should do this, we should do that. Well, we actually have to go do it. We have to knock on doors and talk to our neighbors and vote. My gosh, vote. I mean, you touched on that, how pathetic the voter turnout was for this last school board election. And so I think that was what was so crucial, is you talked about kind of the state of what's going on right now, why you think that is, as it relates to media, as it relates to what happened with the really disappointing school board election results, and what people can do. And man, people asked Mark questions for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It was great.
For some reason, they seemed to think that I would have the answers. And I'm not sure I held up that end of the deal or not, but we did have a good time. And it just great seeing people who, you know, if you read the media coverage of what happened in that school board election, well, you ought to just pack up your bags and go home because you've lost this and people rejected your right wing arguments about school boards and all that. No, that's not what happened at all. You got better voter turnout than we did for your base, and a lot of those were members of the teachers union who were told to go vote, and they did. And not enough conservatives went out and voted. But move that setting to an August or a November election, and the conservatives would have been there, and I think you would have lost. So don't argue that to me for a moment. I mean, that's the point of what we were talking about last night. As Sean Hannity says all the time, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't lose that spirit, that frustration, that anger you feel with what you see that's going on in these schools. If you give up, it'll never stop. You've got to keep battling and standing up for what you believe in, and at school boards and elsewhere, right? You can't just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. And I had a great time out there and a bunch of great folks, and I appreciate them inviting me. That was fantastic. All right, coming up, we will get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, we talked about the FISA bill being turned down again. We're going to ask why. Our friend Ryan Schmell is covering that story up in D.C. We'll get to him about 6:20 this morning.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, in the world of PC that we live in, there are some changes the Biden administration has adopted for the U.S. Census. Listen to this.
The form will now have one question regarding race and ethnicity. Response options will now include 7 broad categories, including white, Hispanic or Latino, and Black or African American. Options also include Asian American, Indian or Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. A new Middle Eastern or North African category will also be a choice. Previously, the ethnicity Hispanic or Latino was measured in a separate question. This is the first time in nearly 3 decades that the existing standards across all federal agencies have been changed.
Yeah, there you go. Basically, this is to be more inclusive. this should not surprise anybody. This story I found, that I don't know if it was like NBC or something, they interviewed someone who says she's of Mexican-American heritage, and she said that the choices on the government forms make Latinos seem like an afterthought. She says choosing the some other race or other feels like we're not worth an actual category of our own, that we're not being recognized as human. So naturally, the Biden administration has to make sure that everyone is feeling recognized.
Suck up to everyone so that they can get every single possible vote. They're hurting in Latino votes. I mean, Latino votes still, for whatever reason, dominantly go to Democrats. But if Donald Trump, if the trends continue, peels off 30% of those, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these are people who are citizens who are naturalized and who are angry that the southern border is now open and anybody can walk in because they did it the right way.
Yeah. It just goes to show you. I mean, they're always finding new ways to kowtow to the loudest people in the room.
Yes.
Right? It's like they don't want anyone to get offended. To your point, the way that this could affect things, it says on the 2020 census, 42% of Latino respondents marked some other race. And they're claiming that when that happens, that essentially the government ends up assigning them a race. And that it really screws up with the data.
Yeah, but why does that matter? At the census is about figuring out how many people are in the country. Period. And it should only include United States citizens to begin with. That's not a race issue. Donald Trump tried to change that and the left lost their mind because they could potentially, these blue states could lose dozens of congressional districts if they weren't counting all these illegals they've allowed in.
Oh, I know. There should be a category for, are you an illegal immigrant?
Who's going to answer that part?
Absolutely nobody.
Nobody's going to answer that, honestly.
No. I mean, I wonder how honestly people answer these in general. But wait until you hear this. There's this associate professor of sociology who supposedly served on the Census Bureau's advisory committee from 2014 to 2020, was interviewed for this particular article that I found, and this is a quote that she says. For a lot of people, their racial identity is a function of how they are treated by other people and how they move through the world. She goes on to say that the notion of fixed scientific concept of race is basically outdated. Like, we need to change it. Whoa. You don't just get to choose what race you feel like. I don't get to identify the race I'm feeling like, just like you can't pick what gender you are.
Well, sure you can, Kim. It's just how, you know, if you wake up feeling like a German Shepherd one day, people should respect that.
We're joking about this, but didn't a guy in Japan, like, do some weird transformation where he became spent like $10,000 to become a dog. Guys, a dog. He was rolling around on the ground and getting belly scratches.
We used to put people like that in institutions, and now we celebrate them.
That's offensive, Mark. How dare you suggest he need mental assistance?
It's mental illness.
Wait until you hear this that I'm about to play for you. So we all talk about the gender and how everyone says you need to ask pronouns and blah, I go by they and them and z, zer, zip, zorp, whatever it is now. I can't even keep track. I'm sorry. Is Dr. Seuss, there should be a book out about this.
Zip and a zorp. I will not eat it with a mouse, so I will not eat it in a house.
I will not eat it with a fox. I will not eat it in a box. Shall we continue? There is an Australian radio host who is interviewing some gender activist, and the radio host introduces this person, and there's a pretty awkward exchange. Listen.
Good afternoon, Julia. Thanks. You know my pronouns are they, them. How are you doing?
Yeah. Thank you for telling me your pronouns. I use correct grammar, so the only thing I would need to refer you to is to your face would be you, but I'm not being rude. You can choose your pronouns. You can choose what you want to call yourself, but you don't get to require me to use incorrect grammar and factually incorrect things. You're not a plural. You're a one person, and you're a female person. So I will use she and her. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
If
you want to refer to yourself again as Z Zip Zorp Zane, whatever the case may be, by all means, go ahead and refer to yourself by that. But do not expect me and everybody else to make sure that we have all of your revolving door pronouns correct when we address you. I'm going to call you a her or a him or a she or a he based on what you are at birth. not the gender that the doctor assigned you, the gender that God assigned you.
There are places in this world where they're changing the laws and will throw you in jail for misgendering someone. Now, fortunately, in the United States, we have the First Amendment for as long as that lasts. And you have the right to pretty much say what you want, right? But people need to understand just how insane these people are. They do. There are people in the... I don't know if it was Great Britain. It was one of the European countries.
Scotland?
Just changed their law to be able to fine you or jail you or arrest you or something for misgendering someone.
Yeah. Can't you serve actual jail time?
I think maybe that's the case. You have to understand how serious these people are.
Scotland.
Destroying the world.
It's
and common sense.
It's considered a hate crime if you misgender somebody. And that was what J.K. Rowling was speaking out about. And she's like,
yeah.
Bring me to jail by all means. Cuff me. Like, I'm not going to cater to this madness.
Not at all.
And that's what ultimately you have to be willing to do. I mean, as scary as that sounds, some of us could seriously end up in jail.
Who I want to know who gets to decide. I got an email. I got a solicitation email from somebody, some organization. I'll have to go back and find it in the break. Who told me yesterday that they want to update their information about me in this database they have, and they wanted me to check this information and see if it's valid. And one of the things it asked was if I wanted to update my pronouns. Ugh. And I so want to answer that email and say, yeah, it's N-O-R-M-A-L because I'm normal. And anybody who's not can go rot. I don't need to explain myself to you.
Matt Walsh or someone, I think it was Matt Walsh. He's like, if we're going to choose pronouns, then I'd like to go by like handsome and beautiful. I mean, let's just pick whatever we want, whatever adjective we feel best describes us that particular day. And that's what I would like you to call me.
Yeah.
And you better get it correct, because if you don't, I'm offended. If you can't keep track of all the different pronouns I choose or others choose, how dare you?
Here's what I think that we're going to do. Here it is. You're a journalist update. Your Sizian profile in the PR industry. We want to update this for you. What's your preferred pronoun? No! No! Take me off your list, please. This woke nonsense. Here's what we're going to do. I promise you this. When Planet Fitness goes under and all the stores close, we're going to do the show live one morning in the parking lot of a closed Planet Fitness, because when you go woke, you go broke. People are fleeing that place because you don't know if you're going to walk into the locker room and see some freak standing there with his you-know-what hanging out while your daughter's changing clothes.
Yep. I mean, you
Who
should...
Who wants to do that?
Please discontinue your Planet Fitness membership if you still have one. I know it's hard, okay? I miss Target. I will admit that on the air. I miss Target, dang it. But I have not gone back.
Yeah, good. Good. All right. Good. Good. I could listen to that woman's Australian accent all day.
Hello. I'm going to call... House. I'm not even going to try accents. We know what happened when I tried to do my Italian accent, so...
Yeah. Yeah, you should leave that to me. I'm really good at it.
No, don't, Mark. Neither of us.
We'll be back in just a minute.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Yeah, I hope so. I didn't watch any of the Masters yesterday. I will before the weekend's out. I usually don't watch the early rounds. One of the biggest regrets of my life, I got to say, well, I mean, not one of the biggest, let's be real. One of the regrets of my life is that I worked in South Carolina for 3 years at a TV station and never made it down to cover the Masters. I mean, when I look back in hindsight, I probably could have gotten a media pass because I was in the state to go down there to Augusta, which would have been a 3-hour drive from where I lived, to experience that years ago. And I was oblivious to it. I wasn't in sports. I was in news, and I just didn't ever go to the trouble to do it.
Are you a big golf fan?
Well, I'm a big Masters. I love watching the Masters. It's just a special event, and it's the best golfers in the world, whether they've all vacated for the live tour or they're still in the PGA. It's the best golfers in the world are competing against each other. And it's beautiful and it's exclusive. And yeah, I usually watch the at least the final day, if not the final 2 days of the Masters.
I'll be honest. I think golf is extremely boring to watch.
I could see that.
It's just so slow.
For people that don't play it, I could see that.
I mean, I'm terrible.
When you play it, you're so in awe of what these people are able to do with the same club you're swinging and the same ball that you're hitting, and they can put it 4 feet from the hole every single time and knock it 300 yards every single time. It's just, it's an amazing skill, and I love watching them do it.
I think when Tom Ackerman was in here and we were debating what sport was the most difficult, I think Tom made the comment that golf was extremely difficult because there's so many factors that are out of your control. Wind direction, the wind strength, the sun, that could affect certain things. There's just so many elements, I feel like, that can impact your game going into it that you can't predict. It's not like a week out you can be like, all right, let me play under the exact conditions I'm going to be playing at on that particular day.
That's what
you
makes
wake
it
up
great.
And you're like, all right, let's go.
I know. And I'll be pulling for Tiger Woods. I don't know that he's got a chance. I think he was one on. I don't know what he finished up at yesterday. When I was listening to Reardon's show yesterday afternoon, he had a guy on who was there. And Woods was one under right then, but they weren't going to.
He still is one under.
They weren't going to finish the round right. Because of darkness, because it got started late.
He's got to play like 22,
so
23 holes today.
If that's true, then he was about 5 or 6 strokes off the lead. Scheffler and a few other people had amazing days yesterday, and they were like 6 or 7 under.
So he has to play more than 20 holes today to catch
that?
Up.
To make up for it.
Jordan Spieth, that's who I'm Spieth. Thinking of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like that name, he really got popular how many years ago?
Yeah, and the guy who won, DeChambeau, the guy who won the maybe the PGA Championship when they had it in St. Louis, is that who it was? The guy who's got arms like tree trunks. I mean, it's no wonder he hits the ball 300 yards. So here's the kind of geek I am. And this drives my wife crazy, Kim, because you just said, I don't like watching golf. It's kind of boring. I like to watch the World Series of Poker.
Oh, my gosh. That's 10 times worse. Poker is so boring.
Well,
really? You just
not,
sit there and watch poker? Are you 90 years old, Mark?
It's not boring if you like to play the game. Because you learn strategy and you see people who are betting tens of thousands of dollars, in some cases $100,000, on one hand of cards. And it's mystifying to me.
You know what I like to watch?
Oh, no.
Videos
paint
of
drying.
Paint drying. How did you know I was going to say that? Mark, you know we've worked together long enough when somehow, seriously, I was going to say paint drying.
I knew
that's
you would
impressive.
Feel that way about it, which is why I brought that up. So, hey, coming up, we'll check in. The House voted down the FISA renewal, although I think eventually it probably passes. We'll talk to Ryan Schmelz about that at 6:22 and a check of business. Markets up again yesterday. Nicole Murray at 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.